Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. I think you're ready to be encouraged. I think your faith is going to be inspired. I'm so excited about this next hour. So here's my question to kick it off. Are you ready? Do you really believe what you say you believe? I want you to think about that. Do you really believe what you say you believe? Well, today is my guest and friend, Debbie Lindell, and she's going to help us learn how we can embrace the life we are created to live as we unpack her new book, She Believes, Embracing the Life You Were Created to Live. I just felt like the more I read this, the more I kept saying, yes, yes. I mean, everybody needs to hear this. And Debbie has a heart in this book. She's speaking to women, but we have as many men listening as women. And I got to tell you, all of these concepts apply to you men as well. I want you to stay tuned because all of us, I mean, who doesn't need an upgrade in faith? I really believe that's what you're going to find after this hour is said and done. I'll get Debbie on in a moment, but I have a quick announcement that's hugely important. If you've been listening for a number of years to Live the Promise, you know we do something this time of year that's hugely a part of our DNA, and it matters so much. And we call it the Great Giveaway, where we try to mobilize thousands of you to engage in random acts of kindness during this holiday season. And it isn't just the things you would normally do. We want you to do something you would normally not do, stepping out of your comfort zone. Maybe that's standing in line with someone at the grocery store and paying for their groceries, bringing a pie to the shut-in across the street, or sending warm blankets to the local homeless shelter. You decide what it is. But as you know, I've been on medical leave, and so we got started this year's Great Giveaway about 3 weeks late. So the thing we're doing a little bit different here is, if you've already done your random act of kindness, get on our website at My Faith Radio, get to the Live the Promise page. At the top of that page, you'll see a Great Giveaway banner. Click on that and tell us your stories, because the first 100 of you will receive a copy of my new book, Your Powerful Prayers, along with some kind of Christmas candy. And the two most inspiring stories will win a Great Giveaway basket, some books off of our Faith Radio shelf, and some Christmas movies and some great treats. And just because you sign in on the website doesn't mean I don't want you to call on Thursday. This Thursday, in 2 days, I will be devoting the whole show to you calling in, sharing your amazing stories. This Thursday is the big Great Giveaway. I pray you'll engage. You'll make somebody's world different, better, especially this holiday season when they need it. Okay, my guest today writes this. Do you really believe what you believe? Maybe you're in a place today where you're having trouble believing what you believe, that God is really there, that He knows who you are, that He has amazing plans for your life and your future. Maybe your circumstances are screaming at you, causing you to doubt that your life has any real purpose or meaning at all. Or perhaps you feel like you're at the end of your rope, just hanging by a frayed thread of hope. Well, the Bible says this, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans for peace and not disaster, plans to give you a future filled with hope. Do you believe that? Maybe you believe it in your head, but do you believe it in your heart? Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Debbie Lindell serves alongside her husband, John, lead pastor of James River Church in Springfield, Missouri, as a leader and speaker and conference host. She loves to inspire women of all ages to understand and embrace who God created them to be. And I'll say this on a personal note. I met Debbie at a conference several years ago, and this thing in her bio is exactly true. She oozes inspiration for women. So, dear Debbie, welcome to the program.
Oh, my goodness, it's so good to be with you today, Susie. I'm excited to just be a part of the show today.
And congratulations on a really great book.
Oh, thank you.
Looking forward to unpacking it. And before we take a step further, I want to introduce a friend who's in studio, who's also a mutual friend of Debbie, one pastor's wife to another. My friend Jody Roush is in studio, and she went to Debbie's recent conference. She's got Debbie's book in front of her. So she's my friend. She's Debbie's friend. She's going to chime in on the conversation throughout the hour. So welcome, Jody.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you,
ladies. Really. And I know you're someone who cares about inspiration and faith too, Jody. So this is great. So Debbie, we love to start every conversation talking scripture, wondering if there's either a life verse or just a verse God's been putting on your heart these days that you can share with us.
Oh my goodness, there is. In fact, I had the privilege of speaking on this story, which is very familiar to probably all the listeners, and that's the story of just Mary and the birth of Jesus. But the verse of scripture that's within that story is what Elizabeth shouts out to her when Mary goes to visit her after hearing the angel give her the pronouncement that she would be the mother of God's son Jesus. Elizabeth said to her, "Blessed is she who believes what the Lord has spoken to her would be accomplished." And I just love that. It's really a theme for my life that I want, whenever I sense God speaking to me, to do something for him, that I, by faith, step out and in confidence and trust and obedience to what he's calling me to do. And that's really, honestly, one of the bottom line keys to the book and principles of the book, is that all of us are by faith, walking by faith, listening for God's voice, and then responding to it. So that's kind of the verse that's just on my heart every day lately. And so hopefully it will be encouragement to the listeners today, too.
Well, that's exactly why we asked the question. That is just so, so encouraging. When you think about this, that, you know, your call is to inspire women to lay hold of and apprehend everything God has for them. I noticed in the book you said several times. So conversely, what aches and breaks your heart is when a woman gets stagnant. And would you attribute to that, you know, plateauing, losing ground, not growing, always, does that always go back to unbelief? Or what do you attribute that to?
You know, I think there's circumstances in life can cause us to just struggle in our faith. You know, excuse me. A few years ago, in fact, right after I started the journey of writing the book, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So sorry. And it really, the recovery process of after I had my double mastectomy, which I didn't expect to walk through in any way or ever imagine I would, but that journey really did cause me to face moments of doubt and discouragement. So situations and circumstances can cause us to have to really, really consider where we are at and where we're at in our walk with God. And if we really do believe, as I say in the beginning of the book, do we believe what we've been taught and what we say we believe? And so I walked through a season during that time where I had to really, you know, say, "Debbie, do you believe what you say you believe? Is God with me? Is he going to take care of me?" And there were nights that I just had to cry out to God, "Help my faith, God, build my faith." And the amazing thing is, whenever I would look to him, cry out to him, I could sense him encouraging me, reminding me of the word, and reminding me of the times that he had walked with me in the past and helped me through times of struggle. So circumstances can cause us to struggle. And then, yes, just not understanding the truth of God's word can be a challenge. And so, man, you know, if I could encourage the listeners today at all, who know the Word of God, and as you learn the Word and learn to live the Word of God out in your life, your faith will begin to grow. There's a verse in Ephesians that actually comes to my mind when I'm talking right now. It says, "It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, found yourself home free." And that's in the Message version. And I love that. We can know God's Word. We can know the truth. We can have it written on the walls of our home. We can have it as a screensaver. But until we believe the truth that we've been taught, you know, it won't change our lives, and it won't change the way we think about our situation. So learning to live out the Word of God in our life will change.
And don't you
think everything about
indeed, those storms are exactly the opportunity for that. I mean, I feel like we don't know what we don't know sometimes. You know, I came through a pretty rough year health-wise myself. And, you know, one of the things the Lord whispered to me that just became just an anchor perspective was this, that the storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need. And I'm telling you what, I'm like, okay, what are some of the lies I believe? And I didn't even know what I didn't know. But when he started to show me the lies, I could point to you all the fruit that came from that, you know, the fear and the dread around health stuff, which I'm sure you addressed as well. But I think at times we just, our goal is to get through the storm. When we realize that God has treasures in the storm, it's an opportunity to deepen what we believe, to own what we believe, wouldn't you say?
Boy, that's so true. In fact, there's a chapter in the book that actually came out of that season in my life, and it's called There's Treasures in the Darkness. And, you know, the Word of God talks about, there's actually a verse about how God loves to reveal to us treasures in the darkness. So, in other words, there's things as we walk through trials that we will find out about our Creator God that we wouldn't necessarily be able to understand without that experience. And that happened for me. There was beautiful things he taught me as far as trust in him and just reliance on him. And even the value of faith-filled believers around me, you don't realize how important they are until you walk through a season where you need them so desperately. And so there's just little things that God just revealed to me that I'm so thankful for that actually he is using now in the ministry that we're in. And I'm grateful to him for every day that I had to just grow in my trust in him through that experience.
Wow. And if you don't mind, Debbie, I'd love for you to share just some of the ways that you're richer because of that battle. Not that you'd ever want to go through it again, but how are you richer, deeper, stronger because of it?
Well, I think one thing, and it may sound small because we say it a lot, but you do, when you walk through an experience, you understand others that are walking through it in a deeper way. I actually went into a depression after my surgery because I had really thought my recovery would just, you know, be a normal recovery. And the doctor, my first question after finding out that I was going to have the double mastectomy was, you know, what will the recovery be? How long will it last? And because I love to work, I love to serve, and I love to be active. And so I was like, okay, you know, I believe God could heal me. I want to say that I believe in healing. And John and I believed that God could heal me immediately if that was his will. That didn't happen, so we chose to go the surgery route. Anyway, in walking through that long recovery, which wasn't the 2 weeks that the doctor said, within 2 weeks you should be feeling good enough to maybe go back to work part-time. And so that was my goal. Mm. And when I wasn't able to achieve that goal, I got very discouraged after week, actually months of being in bed and not having any strength to do anything. And so I started getting very discouraged, and that is so not my nature. I'm a very optimistic, typically faith-filled, like God's going to see me through this person. And so I think I got discouraged with my discouragement. And so I walked through months of just depression, which was unexpected. But what I learned from that is not to have, I have a new understanding because of that experience and God bringing me through that of what others walk through. And not that I was, I hope I wasn't harsh on them or hard in my understanding towards women that struggle with depression, but having walked through it, I just have a greater compassion for it.
Yeah.
And I can dialogue with them with understanding, and I'm so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And so that would be one component of what I learned. And the other is just the value of being a part of a community of faith-filled believers. Mm-hmm. It's just a reminder of how important that is to have brothers and sisters around us. Wow. That can walk with us through trying times, having a family of believers that we're connected to. And as a minister and pastors, you think, well, Debbie, didn't you know that? Well, yes, I knew it in my head, but I had never walked through a deep, deep time of discouragement and understood the great import of that.
Wow. And we have to pause here. So sorry, we've got to take a quick break here. But, there's always a chance to know it deeper, to know something deeper. And I think that's what our trials do as well. Talking to Debbie Lindell, title of her book, She Believes. We've got 3 copies. If you need a faith boost, a faith encouragement, email me to get in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really honored to be talking to our friend Debbie Lindell. She's got a beautiful book titled She Believes, Embracing the Life You Were Created to Live. This would be a fantastic Christmas present, I'm just saying. I don't know that you get it by Christmas, but just maybe. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. 3 of you will get a copy. We've also got a mutual friend in studio. She's my friend, pastor's wife as well. Jody Roush is in, and she's friends with Debbie. They've met at conferences before, so she's got Debbie's book in hand and wanted to set up a question for Debbie, if you wouldn't mind. Jody, take it.
Hey, so on chapter 11, you talked about treasures in the darkness, and you said darkness is often where new dreams and new ideas are birthed. And you talked about sisterhood cares. Can you tell us more about that?
I sure can. Yeah, and I kind of alluded to that in the earlier segment, but when I experienced that dark time, I felt like God really birthed in me a ministry to reach out to women that are walking through physical challenge, either themselves or within their family, or depression. And so out of that season, a ministry was birthed that was, it's just amazing how God is using it. And we have a team of women now in the church that they go through a little bit of training with regards to how to minister, but we connect them to women that are walking through crisis. And they stay with them throughout the journey.
Wow.
To pray with them, to visit with them, to be available to them at any time to talk to or share with. And God has just been using it in such a powerful way. And so that would be one of the little treasures that came out of that season of darkness for me. And you know what? God loves to birth new dreams. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't just do it on the mountaintop. I think he often does it when we're walking through the valley because we're so in tune to him. We so want to hear from him when we're in a dark place. We're like, God, I need to hear you. And so I think our ear is just more inclined to hearing his voice often, not always, but often, when we're just so desperate for him.
So, that's a unique, I love the idea of somebody staying with somebody who's in crisis. So you start to, it's earned trust, there's a familiarity and a safety. And, there's something to be said too about compassion. When you've received compassion, you're more drawn to that person. You know what I mean? When I, in my early years of marriage, I walked through the significant battle with Lyme disease, and the people whose eyes welled up with tears because they'd either been sick or loved someone who was sick were safe to me. Those who said with their hands on their hips, buck up, buttercup, you need more faith, were toxic to me. And I think that's one of the treasures in the darkness is Christ's compassion, because he has compassion for us, doesn't he?
Boy, that's so true. And you really do begin to understand his deep, deep love for you as an individual when you're walking through that time and just relying solely on him. I mean, there were days I really thought I wasn't going to make it because I think in part because I was so discouraged, but I was just very, very sick. And just gaining that understanding that really all I need is Jesus. If I have Jesus, it doesn't matter how dark the day is. He's going to be with me, and I'm not ever going to be alone. And honestly, even if I go to heaven, what could be greater than to be in his presence? So that, I became so much closer to him and reliant on him. Because ultimately, if you have Jesus, you have everything you need.
Yeah.
I mean, It's just the truth. And if you have a deep relationship with him, which your relationship, when you go through a trial and you're looking to him, your relationship automatically becomes deeper. You know, when you're walking in darkness with somebody, like physical, literal darkness, in a room that's dark, you tend to grab hold of each other, you know, to be like, okay, we can't see where we're going. At least we have each other, you know, to walk through this where we cannot see. And I think that's what happened to me walking through that cancer season, was like holding on to Jesus for dear life. God, I need you. And so my intimate relationship with him became closer. My relationship with him became stronger than ever. And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, the anchor held. Isn't that just amazing when you think you reached for him and he was sturdy and he was steady? We've got 3 minutes before this hard break, and you can finish the answer on the other side if you need to. But as I'm listening to you talk, and I'm maybe over-relating as well, but when we come through some of those storms, it seems like what happens is threefold. We loosen our grip on the things of the world. They become rubbish. We get a firmer grip on the things of God because they become more precious. And I just think we become more powerful in our testimony because we're still standing. There is a point where the enemy gets weaker as we get stronger in spirit, right? I mean, have you noticed that?
Oh, boy, that's very, very true. And, you know, you're trusting God, your understanding of who he is. I mean, there were nights, many, many nights where I couldn't sleep just because of discomfort. I don't even know all the reasons. I just couldn't. And so I would lay my phone, which I'm so thankful for the technology we have today, in that I could lay my phone. I couldn't read. I didn't have the energy to read. But I would put the Bible app on and let the scripture be read to me. And it was so powerful. I mean, my love for the word just grew because it sustained me. So, you know, dark times aren't bad. For those that are walking through a dark time, it's not all bad. If it draws you closer to Jesus, that is the best thing that could ever happen to you, is that you would understand who he is in a deeper, greater way. Hmm.
He's good. He's good. I want to read this before we go out to break. And this is from Debbie's book, She Believes, Embracing the Life You Were Created to Live. She says, do you understand what this means? As she's talking about the love of God. God loves you a lot. His love for you, for the world, includes you. I think somebody listening, you need to hear this today. His love for the world, it includes you. And he demonstrated his love for you in the greatest way possible. So what exactly does it mean to love? The definition is simple. To love means to delight in, feel affection for, and get joy out of caring for someone, and to desire to treasure, cherish, and protect. Isn't that marvelous to think about? Well, it gets even better. Your God, your Heavenly Father, loves you with that kind of love. He delights in you. He feels affection for you. He enjoys you. He treasures you. He cherishes you. Mm-hmm. And he wants to protect and care for you. He created you to be loved by him. Hear that again. He created you to be loved by him. Yeah. And deep within your soul, there's a longing to understand and believe that you are. You're someone he loves. I'm Susie Larson. I'm talking to Debbie Lindell. She's the author of the book, She Believes, Embracing the Life You Are Created to Live. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com, Susie with an S. Don't forget your mailing address and put Believes somewhere in that email so I know this is the book that you're vying for. More with Debbie Lindell when we return. picked that song by my friend Meredith Andrews because it fits what we're talking about that today. Every mountain makes me a climber. Every giant calls out a fighter. Debbie, I think you would probably say the same thing. I mean, this is how we're conditioned to stand. We're trained in battle. I mean, that's what he says in Psalm 18. He trains my hands for battle. You're a better warrior because of the battles you faced, aren't you?
Boy, that's so true. I believe I'm stronger today than I was before I walked through that season.
Indeed, and more dependent on the Lord. I'm Susie Larson. I also have in studio with me our friend Jody Roos. She's a mutual friend of both Debbie's and mine, and we're celebrating Debbie's release, She Believes, Embracing the Life You're Created to Live. And Jody's just chiming into this conversation. She's a woman of faith in her own right, and you got another question for Debbie.
Well, you have a chapter that says you have a friend in me, and you do a great job at making a lot of women and people in your life feel like friends. And so I really appreciate that. But as I look up to both you and Susie, I've watched both of you go through some challenges. And as someone who looks at you guys as a hero and people who are not too far ahead of me in the journey, I really admire you. And there's a saying that says, faith isn't faith until it's been tested. And so to watch you go through these struggles and just come out as gold. And Debbie, just watching you at your conference, you would never guess in a million years that your faith was tested like it has been. Mm-hmm. And Susie, the same thing with you, reading your latest book, Your Powerful Prayers, knowing how deep that book meant as well, because you've gone through tough times and you're still standing. And so both of you, I admire that. And maybe is there anything else either of you could say to younger ladies or people who are watching you, and how can you encourage us to keep on keeping on?
Oh, excellent. What do you say, Debbie?
Well, I would say, again, you need to put people around you that can draw you closer to Jesus. You know, I think I watch young women today, and they're not always surrounding themselves with faith-filled people. Mm. And you know, your closest friends, I am so for reaching out to women that don't know Jesus, that we can lead them to a relationship with Christ. I'm 100% behind that. But the people that I surround myself, my closest circle, are girls and women that challenge my faith, that strengthen my faith, that build my faith, and that cause me to believe God for more for my life. And so it's so important that when you're walking through a challenge, but really before you would even face a challenge, that you are cultivating relationships that strengthen your faith and are who you trust, that they are going to lead you in a way that that encourages you to walk by faith. And I love the church. I love God's people, and I love the body of believers. And the import of being a part of a faith-filled community of believers, you know, it's in Scripture. We find it in Scripture. God, Jesus died to build his church. In part, obviously, he died for each one of us individually, that we would know him and have a right relationship with God. But at the same time, he died to bring that body of believers together to be his church and to shine brightly for him. But the church is so important. It's such an important part of our faith journey. And so I would definitely say to anyone listening, if you're not a part of a faith-filled body of believers, it's one of the most important things you can do to strengthen your faith and to ensure in the days ahead, if you do walk through a difficult time, that you have people around you that can encourage you, support you, and build your faith.
Boy, that's so true. You know, it seems indifference is as catchy as passion and conviction. You know what I mean? It has a parasitic effect, though. It sucks the life right out of you, but it doesn't stay stagnant. It takes over not only your life, but it impacts the lives around you. So we really do need to take a hard look at our core group. I mean, when you talk about even in fitness, core strength, I mean, I worked in fitness for like 15 years, and they taught us, they said, so many people work on their legs and their arms because that's where you see the results the quickest. But if you think of what a baby does, the first thing a baby does is flip over. That movement is core strength. It's abdominal and back strength. And when you think of core strength in the body of Christ, you know, as individuals and corporately, you've got to look at how you're strengthening your core, not the stuff, the frilly edges that make us look like something. You know what I mean? And I think
that's
you're
true.
So right. Who you walk with.
And it takes work.
Yeah.
It takes work to be connected with other people. It's not always easy. We have to fight through seasons that aren't can be
messy.
Complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, relationships aren't always simple. Mm. And so, you know, and caring for them takes time.
Yeah.
And I love the word sisterhood. Sorry to the guys out there, but I love how the word sisterhood has become kind of like a fad word in this day and age. But I just love it because it really is such a powerful word. It's girls, women who have like interests and care for the same thing and are united in those interests. And so when you look at the church and the sisterhood of the church, it's girls who care for one another and have the same purpose and heart to follow Jesus. But at the same time, we're all human. And so we're going to have to work through relationship hiccups at times. But if we care for each other, we're willing to do that.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, when we love and care for each other, we're going to be willing to walk through those moments with one another that are a little bit more challenging.
Amen. And, you know, one of the things I would say to a younger believer is that we have to contend for some of the things that God has promised us, you know, and it's not to overcome his reluctance. It's really to overcome the enemy's resistance, I think. I would say some of the greatest fruit in our lives, my hubby and I, in our ministry, is contending for the things we believe when our circumstances uh-huh. scream the opposite. And you even
That's
make
good.
The point in your book, Debbie, about believing changes your heart. I want you to make that heart connection to belief and the traction that's gained when you make that connection.
Well, I would say this for me. I would go back to even, I was raised in a wonderful home. My parents were godly people. They were pastors. And so I was raised in a loving environment. And I was raised to understand God's word. But even, which I shared this in the beginning chapters of the book, but as a young woman, I was very, very insecure. And in our first few years of ministry, really struggled with believing that God could use me. And when you talk about how believing changes your heart, it changes not only your heart, it changes how you view life. And I would go back to that verse in Ephesians. It says it's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, and the message says, found yourself home free. And I think that represents free from the lies that the enemy wants to place over your heart and mind about yourself, about your situation in life, about God's ability to use you individually to bring him glory and to do great things for him. What happened for me is I began to see that insecurity, that feeling of inadequacy was really connected to a lack of faith and in believing God's truth and his word about me personally. I had read Psalms 139. I knew it by heart that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, in Ephesians, that I was created in Christ Jesus for good works, that I was God's workmanship. I knew those verses, but I did not believe them for myself. Once I took hold of those verses for me personally and looked at myself, and I would say even physically in the mirror, chose by faith to view myself like Christ viewed, God viewed me, that I was beautifully designed, that I reflected his glory in my creation, bodily, my emotion, my intellect, every part of my design was intended to bring him glory. I began to live differently. Hmm. I began to lead differently. The way I interacted with John changed. The way I was, how I spoke to my children about who they were in Christ and what I believed about them changed. Maybe to someone on the outside, it would have been viewed as a subtle difference. But for me internally, it affected everything. It affected how I walked into a room. Before, when I would walk into a room, even in ministry, walk into the church on a Sunday morning, I would be thinking about Debbie. And am I going to be enough for whatever situation I'm facing today, or whoever I talk to? Will I do the right thing, say the right thing? Do I look right? It changed, completely changed that. So now when I walk into a room, I walk in thinking not about me, but about, okay, God, how do you want to use me today? Who do you want me to talk to? How can you use this creation of me to bless the world and to bring your will into this situation or this circumstance and into this particular person's life who I'm talking to? Now, does that mean I'm perfectly free from ever feeling inadequate? No. I think it's like practicing the piano. The more you practice believing truth, the less you doubt. And so I'm different, but I still have to choose to walk by faith.
Right.
But
beautiful.
But I do believe when a person decides, and it's a decision. You know, everybody has a measure of faith. It's just, are they using that faith they've been given? And so once you decide, I am going to walk by faith in this decision, in this situation, whatever it is that you struggle with believing God about, whether it's about you personally, that he can use you, or that whether you're, to the girls out there that struggle with whether they were perfectly and beautifully designed by him, believing that, it, here's the deal, it doesn't matter what's been said over you, what's been taught to you, what you feel about yourself. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not true.
Amen.
So it's a choice to believe God, what God's word says, over and above anything else.
I thought it was
so
interesting, too, as you proclaimed the truth over yourself, you started to treat others differently. You started even parent differently. And that just the truth of the matter is we can't impart what we don't possess. So the more
That's
we apprehend and possess all God has offered, will we be conduits to his kingdom to other people? I mean, how important is
That's
that?
Right.
Talking to Debbie Lindell, we've got one break here left. We've got one segment left with Debbie. Title of her book, She Believes, Embracing the Life You Were Created to Live. Jody, my friend's got another question for Debbie on the other side. Love to hear from you. By email if you want in the drawing. Love seeing these emails come in. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address. Put She Believes somewhere in that email. And we will be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Debbie Lindell about her book, She Believes, Embracing the Life You Were Created to Live. Before I get to Jody, we have a friend, Jody Roosh, in studio. She's my friend and Debbie's as well. Jody, before we get to your question, I just thought of this when I heard Darlene Chuck sing. Debbie, we've had her on the show before, too, and she was coming out of an unbelievable battle with breast cancer, and she said something so similar to what you said, that she had to really, really, at that time especially, be take inventory of who she surrounded herself with. And she said, of course I had friends that I loved who were even people of faith, but she said their fear rose up and that fear became toxic to me. So she said, I had to whittle that circle down even more to people who were standing in faith for me and with me because I was so fragile. And she said, it's just what I needed to do. And I just think there's something to be said to discern the seasons that we're in and discern who are the best people to be walking with us in that season. What say you?
That's so good. You know, and I would say to those listening, maybe they're walking through a similar experience, and they're like, I don't have a faith-filled friend around me. Mm. You know, yes, you do. You have Susie Larson, who you can follow. You have Jody Roosh, who you can follow. And that's you have myself, who I would hope if you were following me on social media, I would be an encouragement and support to you and build your faith. But that's the beauty of social media in our day and age. If we use it rightly, none of us are alone. None of us. Mm. Even if we don't have a friend that is near us physically, we have faith-filled friends that are accessible to us. through social media, but we have to be following the right people, and that's the key. Who are you following? Are you following people that are going to encourage you, strengthen you, like Darlene, like you said, Darlene said, are you encouraging people that are discouraging you or causing your faith to be less than it should be?
So there are seasons where we probably should be content to walk alone rather than walk with the wrong people. We're never alone, but you know what I'm saying? I think there are lonely seasons where we deepen our roots and we trust God, and He brings those new seasoned friends into our lives. Okay, Jody, you've got another question for Debbie. Sorry about that.
That's all right. If our listeners are listening real close, they'll catch you say girls and women a lot, Debbie. And as we page through your book, there is a picture of four women and a little girl. And there's a middle-aged woman with some younger women and a little girl there. And do you want to describe how you have a multi-generational ministry to women and girls?
Sure. When I was writing or had my first interview with the publisher, and I don't want to throw any of them under the bus because they're amazing people, but one of the questions, it was a conference call interview. It was on the early stages of what's the book going to be about and what do you want to say and who are you writing to? That was one of the questions. Debbie, what's the age demographic that you're writing to? And I said, very confidently, it's ages 12 to 100. And it was really quiet. Everybody went quiet on the conference call, and then somebody was brave enough to say, you know, Debbie, that's not usually how it works. We need you to pick a very specific demographic, like 20 to 30 or 30 to 40, or, you know, can you kind of narrow it down a little bit? And I said, you know what? My ministry, I feel called by God to reach women, honestly, from 10 to 100. Girls of all ages, and to connect them to one another. And that's my calling. And so I want the book to be applicable to a 12-year-old if she picks it up to read it, or a 100-year-old lady who's close to going to be with Jesus, because if she's on earth, she has a purpose. And God still wants to reveal Himself to her. And that calling began years ago when God really called me to lead at a level that I was at first very uncomfortable with. I was like, God, I don't think you have the right person. And He very strongly said, yes, I do. And it's whether you're going to believe me and obey me or not that's the key. And so I feel strongly that I am called to bring women of all ages together. And that Acts 2 verse about the church, they were all together sharing with one another. It says, I believe in verse 47, 48, somewhere around there. And I am so, committed to that. Mm-hmm. And so, Jody, you've been a part of the conference, and this is by God's grace. But I said, God, if you call me to that, help me to lead in a way that draws women of all ages to be a part. And He has graced that. And so when you come to the conference and sit in the arena, there's girls, you know, 12 years old, 10 years old, sitting next to their grandmas who are 80 years old.
Wow.
So it's so beautiful to see.
And that was something that was so amazing, because after the conference, I just stood outside and I wanted to see who are the people that are here. And I would watch middle-aged women with a group of younger women, and the middle-aged women and even grandmas and older, they didn't really look old because they're vibrant, because they have the youth spilling over to them, and their wisdom is spilling over to the youth.
Yeah.
And that was so inspirational. And so as I came home and tried to explain to my team what maybe God wants to do at our place, they couldn't even grasp it. So I would crack open the book and say, you've got to see this picture. This is what I saw. It's the girls in your life, the moms bringing their daughters and the grandmoms and the mother-in-laws and all the girls in your life. So it was quite amazing to see.
Yeah, well, I think that God is, in His grace, helping us as a church to understand that concept. we're not inventing anything. We're just going back, honestly, I think, to Scripture, where, you know, the generations are connected and reaching out to one another, and the older are truly leading the younger. We can't lead the younger if we're segmented out, separate from them. Right. And so it's been beautiful to watch.
We definitely are richer together. So I love that you know, from a writing standpoint, I mean, they always tell you to pick a demographic. So somehow you got away with breaking the rules, Debbie.
I don't know how
you
I
got
did.
To be the exception. Way to go.
Well, God's good, and it's been fun to hear the testimonies. I had a girl that's 89 years old called me and with tears shared how God had spoken to her through the book, and that it's sitting, and this is by God's grace alone. It's nothing I have done other than his hand of blessing, but how the book sits next to her Bible and how it's encouraging her to believe that God still wants to use her. Mm. She's 89. I love that, and it's true.
Yeah, so amazing.
If you're on earth today, it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're on earth today, God still has a purpose for you. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for his grace upon the words in the pages of the book.
If I could, I'd love to read one more excerpt and have you comment on it before we get ready to wrap and pray here. But this is so good. This is Debbie's book, She Believes, Embracing the Life You Were Created to Live. We tend to make faith in God too complicated. Really, it's very simple. It's making a choice to trust and believe that what he says is true. That's all. And when you do, listen to this, a miracle happens. An assurance and a confidence begin to fill your heart and soul that override what you don't know and can't control. I want you to hear that again. An assurance and a confidence begin to fill your heart and soul that override what you don't know and what you can't control. Doesn't mean that you immediately see everything clearly, nor is every question about life answered. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, your faith connected to your Creator has immense power. Yeah. I want you to hear that again. The truth is that your faith connected to your Creator has immense power. It enables you to look at your life from an I trust and believe God point of view. So what do you believe? What are you putting your faith in today? When you start putting your faith in God, he promises to help you. As followers of Jesus, we're all working to grow in faith. And his greatest desire is that we would trust him in everything, even the things we can't see or understand. We've got just about a minute and a half, Debbie, before we wrap and pray. Wondering if you have advice for that person listening today who's realizing as they're listening to you that they've been maybe trusting more in their circumstances that they can see, but that they don't understand. And they want to walk in a new power, even in the time of the not yet, before the breakthrough comes. What advice would you have?
Well, I would, first of all, I think of that verse in Matthew that talks about, if you have faith, a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it will be cast into the sea. And, you know, for the listeners today, some of them may feel like, I don't have the faith to believe God. You know what I would say to you? Yes, you do. You do. God isn't. The fact that you didn't turn the dial on this station and are listening and saying, I want to hear more, tells me that you have enough faith. God's given you enough faith to believe in him. And the mustard seed faith is very tiny. You just got to act on it. And what happens when we act on our faith, it gives us the strength to step over our questions, because we all have questions. We all, like, you know, questions about what we're hearing from God, questions about what we read in his word. Questions are not wrong. They're normal. The disciples had questions. Mary, who we alluded to earlier in the broadcast, Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel came to her, she's like, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. How would this ever happen, what the angel is telling me? But then it says, blessed is she who believed. Because what she did is, in spite of her questions, she said, God, that's what faith is. Faith is believing when we cannot see everything, when we don't understand it all. Believing those things that God says to our hearts personally, which he loves to speak to every one of us, or through his word, and stepping over those questions, saying, God, I'm going to believe you even though I have a question. And what happens then is our faith grows. It's so amazing. When you choose to walk by the faith you have, use the faith you have, it begins to grow, become stronger. And that's what I'm believing for everybody listening today, that they would begin to step out in the faith they have, and that they would see God begin to build and strengthen the faith that they have and make it stronger.
If you choose to activate and step out on the faith that you have, even the faith you have will begin to grow. Debbie, this has been such a precious time. Would you pray, that person you've just been speaking to, would you pray a blessing on them? That'd be great.
I would love to. I would love to. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every person that's listening right now to this broadcast, God. I don't know where they're at, but you do. You know if they're in a car, in their kitchen, surrounded by little ones around them. And God, they're just so hungry for you. They're just listening and saying, God, I need what I'm hearing. I need my faith strengthened today. Maybe they're walking through a dark time. God, help them. I pray that they would listen for your voice, that they would desire you more than anything. And God, that as they do, their faith would grow stronger, that they would be able to walk past their questions, to believe you, to trust you, to believe your word, to believe the things that they've been taught, God, to believe them for themselves. And God, I thank you for it. I thank you for the stories that Susie's going to hear because of this time together. And I praise you for it in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Debbie, I pray you'll come back and join us again. This has been great.
I would love to.
Love it.
It's good to talk to you, Jody.
Yes, it's good to talk to you.
Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.